Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we might learn something from your word, your precious word, Lord, that our relationship with you is enhanced, that we grow stronger in our faith, that we come to know you in a more powerful way. I ask these things, Lord. I understand that my sin is before me, and I don't have the right to come to you except for what Jesus did on the cross. And it is on his sacrifice that I say this prayer. In his mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Father's Day, huh? I'm happy to say I've got, three generations here. I got my dad, me, and my sons over here. If you had a father, we have a terrible problem in our nation today. And the problem is what I call absentee fathers. It is easy enough to father a child, but to be a dad, to be a father, is it's a huge problem in our country right now. And out of that, that problem is a symptom of sin, of our sin nature. And out of that issue comes all kinds of horrible, horrible consequences. Do you guys know that it was more dangerous for you to be in Chicago than it would be in Baghdad when the Iraq War was going on? You had a better chance of being killed on the streets of Chicago. That speaks volumes. And I see in my work, most of you know that I'm a police officer, I see in my work families destroyed by the fathers either being absent or fathers being present and not taking God and God's ways into account on how they raise their children. We have families that are what we call crime families. You know, we sit around the office and a report comes in, an offense report, somebody's been victimized, and they say the suspect is, and I'm not going to name any names because we are going out over the internet, but when we hear that name, that family name, we go, we know who that is. You know, because the whole family is living steeped in sin. They will steal, they're violent, they have no regard for their fellow human beings. And that is directly attributed to the father. The father is a spiritual leader of the household. The father sets the tone for the rest of how the family goes. And as the family unit is, so is our country. You see the country steeped in violence and crime. It is a direct attribute. It's attributed directly to our sin and the sin's consequence of fathers not being a part of their home and raising their kids in the way of the Lord, and there goes our country. Jesus is the answer. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about our perfect Father, our Father God, who is in heaven. I started saying, well, what are the attributes I want to talk about, the things that God is? And you know what? I've only got so much time. I could stay here talking for the rest of the week of the things that God is and not run out. And not run out of something to say about each one of those things. So I'm going to run through these very fast. But I think it's important for us to remember who our Father in heaven is and to us as fathers to emulate him. To take our cue from him in life. I want us first out to say Exodus 20:12. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God has given you. That is a command from God, to honor your parents. Now, how do we do that? How do we honor our parents? Well, sometimes when I ask people that in Sunday school class, they'll say, well, that means you do everything your dad says. No. That may be part of it. But honoring your father means you live a life well lived, that you follow God. And it's his edicts. That's honoring your father. You give your father a legacy when you do that, when you try to live the right way. It's so much deeper than just doing what your dad says, you know. Matthew 6:9-13, this is the Lord's Prayer. Can you guys say this with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For God is kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. He starts out with that, our Father in heaven. God is your Father. And those of you who are in this room right now who have been fathers know the love you have for your children. And I'm here to tell you that your love is way below what God's love is for you. Our love is a imperfect love, where God's love is perfect love for you. First of all, God is a father of justice. Jesus would not have to gotten on that cross except for God's justice. When Adam and Eve was created to have a relationship with God, he gave them everything. He asked them to not do one thing. Do not partake of the tree. One thing. Why? Because God did not want robots. Trust me, people, God can put you on your knees anytime he feels like he needs to do it. He could do it. He could destroy us. He could wipe us out. He didn't even have to think about it. You could be gone. He could make Adam and Eve do what he tells them. But he doesn't want to make them do it. He wants them to love him and do it out of love, to have duty out of love. Do not partake of the tree. What was the penalty? There is going to be a separation, a death penalty. That's got to be paid. It's got to be exacted. God loves them, but there is going to be a penalty to be paid if they take from the tree. Well, we all know the story, right? They partake from the tree. But before they ever did that, God had a plan to go forward that he might, through his love, pay that death penalty. He, in his love, paid for that death penalty. He had that plan set forward before Adam and Eve even knew what was about to happen. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. God even holds himself to his justice. He even holds himself to his justice. Psalm 11:7 says, for the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. He is a lover of justice. So us as fathers on the earthly, we should be lovers of justice. Not vengeance, but justice. God is a father of love. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible, most of you probably know it, John 3:16. Y'all know that? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. His justice required a sacrifice. And then he said, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to do it myself. When Christ was on that cross and he said, it's finished. He said, it's finished. And the veil in the temple, the Holy of Holies, was ripped from the top to the bottom, allowing all access to God. Not ripped from the bottom to the top. It's God reaching down in his justice and in his love and in his grace and in his mercy and in his power to exact the sacrifice so that we could have a way to have a relationship with him. Anytime you're having a hard time, maybe your earthly father has not been perfect. I have a son here. He could testify to some things. Yeah. We can testify to some things, right? We are earthly. Our love is not perfect. Well, our love is a love, and it's a great and powerful love, but it is not perfect. God's love is perfect. It is a love of sacrifice. He was willing to take the beating and the crucifixion and the pain, the suffering, so that the rest of us could have a way. And the day that you start thinking you're having a bad day and things aren't going good with your life, you can't make your bills, you and your kids got into a fight, you and your better half got into a fight, the boss at work's being terrible, you're having a horrible day, you remember Jesus' day on that cross. You think, God, you're forsaking me, I'm just having this horrible day. That is put up, you have to put that up against the cross. Our day's not bad. And you know what? God's word tells us our days are going to be full of trouble. If you have a pastor that steps up in front of a church and says, if you follow Jesus, every problem in your life is going to be taken care of. Everything's going to be just wonderful. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God says there will always be trouble. There will always be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and disease. These things must come to pass, but I will be with you always. Keep that in your heart. It's a promise. It's a promise. God is a Father of grace and mercy. Psalm 103 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he hold back his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. As far as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed our transgressions from us. You hear that? Can I get an amen on that? He has removed your transgressions from you as far as the east is from the west. That means, folks, our God, our Father of mercy and grace, because of what Jesus did on the cross, when he said, it's finished, it means that my sin, because he is my Lord, is gone. My transgression in God's eyes is gone. And I need to try and live up to that. As far as the, you know, I know when I go, because I sit, I don't know if the rest of you, am I like anybody else in here? When I think about some of the things I go through my day, I'm sitting in my bed, getting ready to go to sleep, say my prayers, and I start thinking about the things I did that day, and I think, man, I should have. Man, I wished I didn't. I should have done this. I wished I hadn't done that. Is anybody with me? Is anybody dealing with that? Okay? Well, you know what? Get off it. God's telling you, get up and go on. Your transgressions are not in front of me. The devil uses that. Satan uses that to tear you away from Christ. He'll say, you're not good enough. You'll say, how's God accepting you? You did X, Y, Z. What did I just read you? As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. I know that when I go and I see God face to face, when I see my Jesus face to face, I'm going to be on my knees crying and saying, look at all the things that I did. You know what he's going to say? I love you. I love you. I don't see it. It's been paid for. Our God is a God of grace and mercy. He is a God of justice. He's also a God of grace and mercy. And we as fathers need to be fathers of grace and mercy. I'm just trying to learn from the perfect Father. God is a Father of power. Psalm 147:5. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. You can't understand God's power. We have no inkling of how strong and powerful he truly is. When you have an issue before you and you think God can't take care of it, that is a lie. That is a lie from Satan. If you have an issue before you and you think God is not powerful enough, that is a direct speaking to my faith. If I can't believe that God can take care of the issue, I'm saying God doesn't have the power to do it. I'm always reminded of when the disciples were in the boat, remember? And the boat is rocking and the water's coming over the edge and we're going to drown. And what's Jesus doing? He's sleeping back in the boat. Somebody wake him up. We're dying here. And you remember what he said? When they woke him up, you of little faith. And he puts his hand and the wind puts his hand up and the wind and the rains die. Who are you with? Our God is in complete control. And when the water is coming over in that boat and you think that it's the end, you're going down, remember, who are you with? You're with him. You're the master of the sea. All powerful, all knowing. You can trust him. When we go through these, we're trying to do something great for God. Just remember this. God is doing it. He's just using us. God is doing it, not us. And we have to remember that. Our Father is a Father of compassion. Matthew 6:28-34. And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Our God is a God, a Father of compassion. He understands our worries. He understands that we don't have a clear picture. He tries to give it to us. I am reminded of when Lazarus was dying. Y'all remember the story, Lazarus? Lazarus was dying, and friends came to Jesus and said, Master, you know, your friend Lazarus is dying. He's sick. You need to come see him. And Jesus said, well, it's for the heavenly purpose that I have to wait. I'm going to stay here and wait. And he waited a while. And what happened to Lazarus? He died. That was their truth. Lazarus died. And then Jesus goes to Lazarus' burial place and the people are weeping. Jesus knew right then what he was about to do. He was about, through the Father, to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he sees his friends weeping. He knows this lesson must be taught. He knows it's hurting them. But the lesson has to be taught. And even though he knows the outcome is going to be wonderful and great, he weeps with them. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Have you all ever thought, why is Jesus weeping when he knows he's about to bring Lazarus out of that grave? He's weeping because he cares about his children hurting. But he also knows, because his love is perfect, he knows they have to have this lesson. They have to understand who I am and what I am. He does the right thing. His love is perfect. Sometimes you have to do the right thing. Sometimes you have to do the hard thing. You got to do the tough love, right? And Jesus, it says, he wept with the people. And then he says, Lazarus, get up and walk out of there. In your life today, there might be some things going on that's not, maybe you think, man, this is not going right. This is not the way it should be. This is the, you know, and you're hurting in some way. And you're mourning, oh, maybe over a friend that's left. Listen, Jesus mourns with you. But he also knows in the end, it's all going to be fine. What's man going to do to you? We say on earth, well, the worst thing could happen is, you get killed in whatever you do. You know what I say to that? Ha! Ha! The moment I'm gone, I'm going to be in the arms of my Savior. If you have Jesus in your life, you're going to be in the arms of the Savior. Death has no sting. It has no meaning. Our Father is a Father of compassion. And you can believe the Father, the Holy Spirit, you can believe their promises, because God never changes. Us earthly fathers, we have a tendency to, well, today I feel like this, but tomorrow I feel something different, right? We have an integrity problem. Hopefully with time, that integrity, you become a person of, you can stand up where you need to stand up. But many earthly fathers have an integrity problem. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He never changes. Psalm 102, in the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. God is the same today as he was yesterday, as he was 5,000 years ago or 4 billion years ago, and he'll be the same going forward in our future. He never changes. So if he says your transgressions are wiped away, you can know that tomorrow he's not going to go, well, I changed my mind. You can believe that and take it to the bank, because he never changes. Well, us as fathers, we need to have integrity. Psalm 33 says, "The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord will stand firm forever, the purpose of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance." God does not change. I know it's going to go too long, but I remind you of, Jesus used to speak in parables so he could explain to us the kingdom of heaven and how it works. And one of my favorite parables is the parable of the lost son. And if you remember in this parable, the son goes to the father and he says, I'm not going to wait till you're gone. I want my inheritance right now. I want all the wealth that you're supposed to give me when you go. I want it now. And the father gives it to him. God allows you to make a choice. He lets you choose. He will never make you come to him. So he gives, the father in this parable gives his son his wealth. And the son goes and squanders it. He goes in high living, lustful living, and he squanders the wealth, and soon he loses everything. And then he gets so down that he's having to go to people and feed the pigs. And he's hurting so bad for food that he wished he could eat the food that he's feeding the pigs. That's how bad. Our God is a loving God, but you know what? If you turn your back on him and live away from him, he still loves you. He just pulls his protection with the intent to bring you back to him. Always to bring you back to him. His protection is pulled. The son's life goes into a tailspin. And the son, the Bible says, when he came to his senses, the son came to his senses and said, "I could live better than this, being my father's servant." So he goes back home to his father. And here's one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite things. It says, "But while he was still a long way off," the son coming home, "while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." While he was still far away, what was the father doing? Looking for him. "I'm looking for my son. I'm not going to go get him. I'm going to let him make that choice. But he's looking for him. Son, come back. Son, come back." And when his son comes back, "You see what happened? You took everything I had. You took it and you squandered it, and you threw your life away." Did he do that? Did he just start climbing all over this kid and telling him how terrible he was and how rotten he was for doing what he did? No, he grabs him, he hugs him, he kisses him. He says, "Get the best robe, kill the calf, get the ring, put the ring on his finger." He's back. He's back home. Have any of you, like me, turned your back on him? I have. But when I came back, I never felt like God was saying, "You screwed up." You know, in my thought life, when I'm sitting there thinking about the things I should have done and things that I did do that I shouldn't have, and I start getting down on myself, God's word comes into my head. And God said, because who's behind that, behind me? That's right. That's somebody, that's the other side trying to get me to say, well, you're not worth it. You shouldn't be in church. You shouldn't be having a relationship with God. You're not good enough to be doing that. Look at yourself. But then I remember my scripture. I remember what God said. If you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Your transgressions are wiped away as far as the east is from the west. It's been finished. I did the work. It's gone. Tell him to shut his yap up. Because you know what? Satan's got to flee. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have power over Satan. When you start getting those thoughts in your head, Jesus is there. And Jesus will tell Satan to leave. He's got to go. And he's got to leave. And you know what? It works. I have been there. Satan, leave me alone. In the name of Jesus, leave me alone. Thoughts just go. Bad news. He always comes back. He never stops working. God is always at work and Satan is always at work. Just know that. So all these things put together, I want to ask you something, or I want to explain something. If God is perfect in love, he never changes. I want to read this to you. Romans 10:9-13. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess the faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'm going to have a moment of invitation. If you have not declared with your mouth or do not have it in your heart that Lord, that Jesus is your Lord, I'm asking you, don't tarry. Today's the day. Today's the day. You know, tomorrow is not guaranteed to anybody. We in this room, tomorrow, you cannot guarantee that all of us will be here tomorrow. Don't tarry.